Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. Hi, Holy Days. I'm going to talk about the usurper. This is the Psalm 2 war. This is a holy war where the Lord laughs in derision at all his enemies until he makes them his footstool. Beginning from July 20th through the High Holy Feast Days of the fall, October 8th, 2012, the occult agenda has been ramping up. This is a brief expose according to the purposes of Ephesians 5:8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So this is the clarion call to rise up and wake up and get up and see what's going on. Now, I want to talk about the counterfeit, which is a warlock. A warlock means a treaty or a covenant breaker. It's an occult idolater. In Jude 12, these are spots in your love feast. Whoa. These people that Jude is going to describe here are in the body of Christ. Well, they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackest darkness forever. Who are these people? These are apostates in the body of Christ. All right, I'm going to do just a little bit of historical documentation from August, September through October. This is not a full revealing. This is partial. It's an unfolding, a progressive unfolding to this point, the application. And July 20th, we'll start with the month of July, just to put some organizational parameters on it. July 20th was the beginning of Ramadan, and this was the date that the Aurora, Colorado shooting at the opening of the Batman movie Dark Knight took place in the theater. The dark star is rising, and Ramadan is rising with a blood sacrifice. Islam, Ramadan is the beginning of the Muslim month of fasting for the five pillars of the faithful, and Islam is a violent, bloody, warlike religion. Nothing peaceful about Islam at all. Do your homework. Check it out. The second day, we're going to put into the puzzle piece here for the big overview, is July 27th. And you can see this on YouTube. There was a treaty signing in the White House in which Obama signed the United States-Israeli Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012 to strengthen Israel's qualitative military edge and support for administration initiatives that deepen U.S. defense and security cooperation with Israel. Brought to you by Barbara Boxer and others. July 27th, 2012, was the day before Tisha B'Av, the fast of the ninth of Av, the day of mourning commemorating the destruction of the temples and the Jews. It is a Jewish year of 5772. Tish B'Av actually starts on sunset July 28th and goes through nightfall July 29th, 2012. Now, also on July 27th, 2012, were the opening ceremonies of the London 2012 Summer Olympic Games. And the whole ceremonies were occultic, depicting the birth and ascendancy of the New World Order in a Celtic Druidic style, which it's just a reinvention of the old Babylonian mystery religions. There are many, such as Nathan Leal and others, the Watchman's Cry, who've broken down, and God has given insight into all the symbology that was communicated internationally. On July 29th, 2012, the closing ceremonies were conducted at the Bohemian Grove, another Celtic, Druidic, perverted, high-level ceremonies. Let's move into August now. Let's document what happens in August. In August 6th, there was the Sikh temple shooting, which is another blood sacrifice. And then between August 14th to 15th in Mecca was the Organization of Islamic States, were meeting to forge a unity platform. Of course, there are some interesting, Pepe Escobar wrote a very interesting, insightful article on this, and represented at this meeting were the leaders of 1.5 to 2 billion people in the world, the Islamic world. Then on August 17th was Al-Quds Day. It's the last Friday of the fasting month of Ramadan, which is celebrated. Al-Quds, that is the name of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And it's set apart to show Islamic unity for the Palestinians to reclaim Jerusalem and to put it back under the Islamic Caliphate. At this same time, also during August 16th to 19th, in San Francisco, a sand mandala was made at the Art Asian Museum. Now, this Asian Art Museum is right across from the Episcopal Church, next to the San Francisco Masonic Lodge on Nob Hill, in which Bishop Pike was the serving bishop of the Episcopal Church that started the United Religious Initiatives to kick off the one world religious heretical to the Holy Scriptures movement. It's the back occult door. Here's where in the Bohemian Grove, the United Nations treaties were forged, and then the United Religious Initiatives, and now they're connected out of the Presidio in San Francisco, the center, and of course, the prayer room at the United Nations in New York was initiated or birthed through the United Religious Initiatives. And meanwhile, in Egypt, President Morsi is conducting crucifixions during this month for the press that opposes him and for the Orthodox Coptic Christians. On August 30th is the NAM meeting in Tehran, Iran, non-aligned Muslims in order to forge a unity among the Islamic world. You see, the Islamic world is deeply divided between Shiite, Sunni, Alawite, and so on, warring factions. Islam is a warlike, divided movement, even amongst itself. And in New York on August 30th, Baruch College was also conducting a mandala, and Baruch actually means blessing, but this particular The act of idolatry, which a sand mandala is, will bring a curse from God. Now, let's move into the month of September, which we are now. Today is September 11th. This is the day I am making this particular audio file. And of course, we all have our memories of what happened on September 11th, 2001 in New York with the Twin Towers incident, which, for your information, I was there several years ago in New York doing intercession at Ground Zero and at all these particular spots from Staten Island to the Statue of Isis, I mean Liberty, to the New York Metropolitan phallic symbol in the garden, the obelisk of Ramses, I think. I believe it was the obelisk at the time of the deliverance of the Jews out of by Moshe out of Egypt. And I'm sorry if I can't remember who that particular pharaoh was, but we were at Wall Street and down at the Masonic Church across from the Ground Zero and some occult sites were Oculus, where they literally had in the subway stations watcher eyes over tiled artworks of the entire world. And through Rockefeller Square and St. Patty's Cathedral right down the street, which hosts all the international shoppers between September through December for the holiday season, and to the United Nations. Anyway, this is not about that. This is just to say that this is, in the United Nations, we went into the prayer room and posted all over scrolls of the Ten Commandments and, as Yeshua said, the fulfillment of the commandments to and law, which are summed up in these two ideas, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. All right, September, ramping up to Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the civil new year, and Yom Kippur, the blowing of the silver trumpets of redemption and the judgment of the nations. And there's a saying on Rosh Hashanah, Shana Tova, may you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. God brings you into judgment for your behavior for the past year. But even more importantly, he brings the nations under his examination for their acts and what they have done. And then on Yom Kippur, he will now go into the Holy of Holies as the high priest and will render a judgment over the nations for that year. So this year, Rosh Hashanah begins on September, the evening of the 16th, and finish Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, will be completed on the 26th of September. And the Day of Atonement is the day when the high priest, as it speaks of Hebrew, are once and for all high priests. And we should go and look at what Yeshua, our high priest, did on the Day of Atonement as a fulfillment of the Jewish feast, the most holy Jewish feast. My text here is Hebrews 9:23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the ages, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Okay, this particular passage says that Yeshua, our high priest, went in and offered up his blood in the holy place once every year. This is talking about the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, that is happening at the end, okay, of the beginning of the new year. So it's talking about, these are talking about ages and the end of ages and the judgment of sin. And that now he is seated in the heavenlies and he is the judge. He holds the rod, as it says in Revelation. And this says who he is and how he operates. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's vessels. Who is this? The one who he gives power over the nations. And let's look at also, that was Revelation 26 and 7. And also Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, implying that he is already seated there and ruling, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And this is a position of rulership and authority. And God is going to judge the nations. And on Yom Kippur, there's a cyclical issue, and Colossians and other places say that, yeah, all things were created in and through him and by him and for him, and nothing was created without him, and by his blood, the blood sacrifice, he's reconciling all things back to him under heaven, on the earth, and in the heavens. And having the once and for all sacrifice. So Yeshua said, it is finished. Now, what does this mean? The last three fall feast days here, we're coming into now the end of the ages, because it says clearly in Hebrews that this is at the end of end of the ages, and the end of a particular cycle of reconciliation. Therefore, there is a judgment that comes over the nations, and God sits in the heavens and laughs in derision. Revelation, the book of Revelation, is about the judgments of the nations, along with Psalm 2. So silver is redemption, and the blowing of the trumpets, the feast of trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, and the beginning of the civil year is for the nations now to come in alignment, that God has judged it. And Barak, which is lightning, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Let us look at the issue now as the souls are in balance. So may you be inscribed and sealed in redemption. And September 6th at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, which, by the way, is down the street from the Kansas City International House of Prayer, where the City Mall is located. And this is not a good thing. These people have come under this spirit of deception and kundalini, that there's a salmon dollar that was created September 6th through 10th by these same months that went to San Francisco and Santa Barbara. And they went to, actually what they're doing in this time between August and September is making a circumambulatory tour around the United States, making mandalas in all these key places, a noose to put this stranglehold of judgment on this nation because of the curse of idolatry. These mandalas are portals or gates of hell, releasing demonic powers. This particular one in Kansas City is in the heartland of the United States, and it was composed when it was made of all religions. So this syncretism and this one world religion to move this into place, it had four seasons. So, and the three elements, wind, fire, and water. And what are they trying to do? Daniel 7:24, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones. What's this, a horn? And shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Shall persecute the saints of the Most High. And shall intend to change the times, the seasons, and laws. Okay, this means Moedim, the appointed times with God. So these powers are moving into place, trying to change the times and laws. Then the saints shall be given to his hand for a time, times, and half a time, until the kingdom will be given to the saints. Now, they're also doing a blood relic tour simultaneously for some ridiculous Buddhist monk. What does that mean? Well, it's to fly in the face of idolatrous worship of men and blood. Why? Because the life is in the blood, and they're standing opposed and saying this is Yeshua's blood. In fact, they had this the blood relic were exhibited at the Jaffa Gate in January this year. And people were coming out. You can Google it and find it. Oh, I felt so much love. Oh, it was so, I saw this light. Well, these are all counterfeits and imitations. Angels of light, demonic presentations at the Jaffa Gate. The Jaffa Gate is a very interesting place. I won't go into that now. I've done other teachings and revelations on that. So, therefore, September 21st, 22nd, 23rd, this blood relic tour, so these are working in conjunction, the circle ambulatory, you know, this mandala, this round thing, these spinning wheels that are trying to imitate God and open up stargates and portals, and then this blood, you know, this blood relic, you know, there's only, it's in this life. What kind of life? It's demonic. It's a, you know, God is trying to give another altar. But these are altars of demons, okay? And so September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd in Syracuse, New York, this tour is going to be on, be exhibited, these blood relics. So what? Well, this is during the 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when the nations are coming into judgment, the days of awe, where the trumpet judgments it speaks of in Revelation. And why Syracuse, New York? Syracuse, New York is the back door to New York financially, okay? And industrial, great companies, huge companies are there, DuPont and others. And the mouth to the Hudson River that goes up to the Great Lakes is there, which would be the law of the sea treaties. So it's a backdoor entree into the to taking what is the used to be the American covenants, the covenants that this nation was founded on, to bring them into the United Nations. Because why? Well, we'll see. Coming right up. In Cairo, in Xinhua, Chinese website is saying that Egyptian President Morsi is going to visit the United States on September 23rd. The Nile TV reported on Wednesday. This is from an August 22nd article. So during the days of awe, President Morsi is going to come to the United States on September 23rd. The Muslim Brotherhood, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, those that were in line with the Nazis, you know, al-Husseini, the guy who ran the Temple Mount, one of the most notorious, brutal, barbaric human beings, who was a Nazi pictured with Hitler, part of the Stasi. I mean, we're talking, this guy was a barbarian to the maximum. This is the Muslim Brotherhood that spawned Arafat. I just wanted to remind you, in case you don't know, that you will understand that this is facts. These are the facts. And now, what's going to happen on September 23rd? Well, we're going to begin to have the opening sessions of the General Assembly for the United Nations. That's why Morsi is here. Oh, is that why Barack Obama gave $1 billion? And then they're seeking to get $1 billion in aid for the Muslim Brotherhood and their military scheduled military maneuvers with the United States military and the Egyptians since Mubarak, that they're doing joint military exercises. What is that? What does that mean? And meanwhile, Obama has cut and all funding and aid to Israel. What was that Enhanced Security Act he signed on July 27th? And interestingly enough, President Obama's address will be addressing the General Assembly of the United Nations on September 25th. Well, so what, Kathleen? Well, that's the evening of September 25th is the evening of Yom Kippur. Now, why would this man, who's actually a Muslim Marxist, he's a shapeshifter, he's a chameleon, he changes whatever you want him to say, he'll say. he's really slippery, that guy. And why is he addressing the United Nations on the eve of Yom Kippur? The Yom Kippur, the Jews' day begins when the sun sets to the next sunset. So September 25th is the beginning of Yom Kippur, the most high holy day when the high priest enters in. But Yeshua's already entered in. And it's on the eve of, Yom Kippur. What is he? What kind of statement is this making? Is this a usurping of the King of the heavens in the altar of heavens, in the heavenly places, the throne in heaven, the jurisdiction and the domination, another altar, an Islamic altar, a global Islamic caliphate, perhaps? Is that what this is? Is that what kind of, quote, counterfeit prophetic statement is being made here to the United Nations? Ahmadinejad will also be at the UN September 26th. And he is also, with September 26th, that's Yom Kippur. Ahmadinejad is going to address the United Nations on Yom Kippur. And Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu from Israel, is also supposed to speak and address the United Nations. Now, from what I can tell, there seems to be a lot of, how the rumor mill is, confusion over who's going to speak when and what the dates are. Israeli, from the Jerusalem, GTA, Jerusalem Times, I don't know what the A stands for. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address the United Nations General Assembly, his office announced. Netanyahu will travel to New York on September 27, just hours after Yom Kippur ends, and leave New York on September 30th, arriving back in Israel on the eve of the Sukkot holiday. In Toronto today, the representatives of 120 countries heard a blood libel against the state of Israel and were silent. This silence must stop. Therefore, I will go to the UN Assembly and in a clear voice tell the nations of the world the truth about Iran's terrorist regime, which constitutes the greatest threat to world peace, Netanyahu said in a statement issued Thursday afternoon. The General Assembly meeting will open on September 26th. Well, I don't know about that. But it is not known if Netanyahu will meet with President Obama on the sidelines of the meeting, although unnamed Israeli sources cited by the Times of Israel say such a meeting is likely. The main topic would deal with Israeli threats to unilaterally strike Iran's nuclear program. Now, at this same time, let's just throw in Mahmoud Abbas from the Palestinian Authority is going to be at the UN to push for Palestinian statehood on September 26. Palestinians President Mahmoud Abbas will make a bid on September 27th to obtain non-member status at the United Nations. The day after Yom Kippur, we will go to the UN General Assembly for consultations with our friends on the draft resolution calling for the upgrade of Palestine to non-member status in the United Nations, said Abba said in televised address. We're going to the UN to say that we are a state which applies the Fourth Geneva Convention on the Protection of Civilians in Time of War. There are 133 countries that recognize us as a state, with East Jerusalem as its capital and where we have embassies hoisting the Palestinian flag. Palestinians now have observer status at the UN. Well, there is a Palestinian state. It's called Jordan, and it was partitioned out in 1947. Subject over. If I wanted to go into this, that Shechem and the whole thing about Jerusalem, this is all Zechariah 12. Jerusalem's a burdensome stone, and the worlds are going to fall on it, and they're going to be crushed. Now, part of the issue will be the mountains. The West Bank runs up the mountains of Israel. It's like a spine right through the center. And Shechem is allegedly also known as Nablus. Shechem is the Hebrew name. Shechem was where Joseph's bones were carried out of Egypt and buried there. And there's the, synagogue. And Nablus is a bad place. And Hamas is there. They're such a lovely bunch. They'll dismember you joint by joint, starting with your fingers and toes. I mean, throw you in the garbage dump and, nobody will be able to record their murderous deeds. Now, even those Palestinian Arabs do not want the Hamas to be in power, because when the wicked are in power, the people groan. It's interesting that Joseph came out of Egypt and they brought the Hebrews brought the bones of Joseph. He requested that they be buried in Shechem. And if Shechem is given completely to a Palestinian state and this division happens, historically we've seen tremendous divisions and disasters happen to those who divide and touch God's God. It is God's land. It does not belong to Israel. It does not belong to Christians, Jews, or Muslims. God gives its stewardship to whom he will give its stewardship to. This is the land, the only land in Scripture that God calls my holy land. It is not a holy land. It is now profaned, and it is coming under the discipline of God. Okay, but it's still his land, and he determines who will have jurisdiction over his land. So, you better kiss the son's feet, lest he breaks out in his wrath against you. On August 25th, Debka says that President Barack Obama and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are to meet at the White House on September 27th, according to Debka files. This timeline indicates that the Prime Minister is inclined to accommodate President Obama by delaying an Israeli attack on Iran's nuclear program again until after the U.S. presidential elections on November 6th. President Morsi is to go shopping in Beijing for the same nuclear-capable missiles as Saudi Arabia has acquired. Both speak détente with Tehran while Israel dithers over preempting its nuclear weapons. And then as of just today, September 11th, 2012, Obama and Netanyahu shadow box on Iran ahead of the final roundup, September 28th. You see, all the dates are all moving and shifting around here, at odds but still talking. The rambling over Iran between the offices of U.S. President Barack Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Monday has been reduced essentially to a battle for the agenda of their meeting in New York on September 28. Netanyahu will be pressing for a U.S. commitment to military action if Iran crosses still to be agreed red lines, while the White House rejects red lines or any other commitment for action as neither necessary nor useful. And all this is in light of the upcoming elections in the United States of America in November. This is about the Jewish Democratic vote and Obama trying to still have influence and seem to be the good guy in all of this. Well, you know, Republican or Democrat, this is not what this is about. It's about God and those who oppose him. I'm not politically inclined, but I am stating to you these kind of politics and how they line up with what God is going to do, which I will get a little more, break that down with some scriptures about how God deals with idolatry and occultism, the breaking of his covenants. But before I do that, I want to talk about the October, as I know it so far, schedule, at which time September 30th, 2012, is the Eve of Tabernacles, and Bibi Netanyahu, according to Debka or GTA, is supposed to be back in Israel. And the first day of Tabernacles is October 1st, and the last day is the 7th. And then October 8th is Simcha Torah, which it means rejoicing in the Torah. Let's look at some schedule occultic events and see what those who stand opposed to God are attempting to do. Now on October 5th, 6th, and 7th, in Plymouth, New Hampshire, the Buddhists and the Dalai Lama are having their blood relics displayed. New Hampshire, Plymouth is interesting because as I looked into it, the whole point of this is the continuing of the usurping of the early fathers of this country's compacts, covenants that were made by the by the forefathers. And the separatists or pilgrims left Europe because of religious persecution, came over on the Mayflower, put the Mayflower Compact together, which is the original founding document of covenant with God. Thanksgiving originated then. And it was signed, the Mayflower Compact, on November 11, 1620. How interesting is that? Well, that is the birth date of the Marines and some other significant dates. But it says, in the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, the Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and advancements of the Christian faith, and so on. So this was a foundational Christian covenant over the land. And this particular place, it's very interesting. Plymouth, New Hampshire is not Plymouth, Massachusetts. It was spurred and given the name from Plymouth, Massachusetts, where Plymouth Rock and all of that was. It was a very small community. It was another back door. October 12th, 13th, and 14th, 2012, which is after the close of the Feast of Tabernacles. Rochester, New York is going to have a blood relic tour demonstration. Rochester, New York, the Assisi Institute. And October 19th, 20th, and 21st will be in Centerville, Virginia, which is another of the key of the 13 colonial states of the United States. And at this time, there are parallel tours in Europe with the United States. Why? Because this is an orchestrated plan. You can go to the Tremondi's website out of Switzerland. They've done a lot of research on Buddhism, especially Tibetan Buddhism, and how instrumental it was in the Nazi Germany. And the ties with Madame Blavatsky, how the Buddhists set up these peace faces and these blood tours to construct a demonic net and portals in order to take over a nation or an area. And with the fall of Nazi Germany, 1,000 Buddhist monks dead were found in Berlin. I'm telling you that their strategy is to hijack the Western powers to bring them under Asian and Islamic dominance through orchestrated ceremonies, occult idolatrous ceremonies, mandalas, blood relic tours that open portals of hell, gates, demonic gateways. And the Olympics in the United Kingdom was the Druidic warlock occultic sorcerer version that aligned with this. Three horns. The three horns that the little horn came and usurped. And how do we, who, so this is spiritual. Spiritual warfare. And it's between the people who keep covenant and the warlocks who break covenant through idolatry. Those who keep the commandments of God and faith in Yeshua. Those that overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and do not love their lives unto death. These are the fearsome ones. These is Revelation 12. These abominations, these idolatrous worship of demons that cause desolation. The opening of the gates of hell to the destroyer. In the temple of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Symbolically, in the Yom Kippur, the high holy days, where God judges the nations, the United Nations are coming and usurping the God of the earth. This is Psalm 2 war. Now, I want to go into Deuteronomy 32. This is the Lord speaking to his people. We're not talking to those, the seed line. And Yeshua said, gave this parable that the Lord planted a crop, and at night the enemy came in and sowed seed. And the seed grew up together, and the harvest was the end of the age. And the seed, the other seed, the tares that were sown in the good crop, were sown by Satan. We're not talking about the tares, okay? We're talking about the wheat. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. For righteousness and upright, righteous and upright is he. They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish. A perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, okay, the Most High did this. He set the nations in order. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Yaakov is the place of his inheritance. He found them in a desert land and in a wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled them, he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and the rams of the breed of Bashan and goats, with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to anger. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you, United States of America. And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters on them. I will spend my arrows on them. They shall be wasted with hunger, devoured by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword shall destroy outside. There shall be terror within, for the young man and virgin, the nursing child with the man of gray hairs. Out of said, I will dash them in pieces. I will make them memory of them to cease from among men. Had I not feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should misunderstand, lest they should say, our hand is high, and it is not the Lord who has done all this. For they are in nations void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them? For their rock, Mecca, you know, Dome of the Rock, for their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges, for their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the cruel venom of cobras. Is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. For the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone, and there is no one remaining bond or free. He will say, where are their gods? The rocks in which they saw refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering. Let them rise and help you and be your refuge. Now see that I am he. There is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I whet my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood. My sword shall devour flesh. With the blood of the slain and the captives, and from the heads of the leaders of the enemy, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people. Now, this is very clear. God uses God's enemies and he uses his own people to bring a severe discipline upon them. And he will provide his blood atonement for his land and his people. He is the high priest that's reconciling all things back to him. And in Hebrews 12, it talks about the disciplines of the Lord upon his people and how he deals with them. And then we're going to move into this next phase of Deuteronomy 33, which is part of the progressive prophetic word. And it's a blessing for the children of Israel. This is part of the blessing. If you want to know the curses for disobedience and the curses for obedience to the covenant of God's Ten Commandments, faith in Yeshua, look at Deuteronomy 28. But this is what God is going to do. I believe this is a progressive revelation of God's disciplining the earth in the last days and the ages, providing the atonement of Yeshua. And then it is an ongoing prophetic revealing of what is going to happen after this severe discipline that we're moving into has occurred. Deuteronomy 33. Now, this is the blessing with which Moshe, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them." Yes, he loves the people. "All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. Moshe commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Yahuwah. And he was king in Jeshurun when the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Let Reuben live and not die, nor let his men be few. And this he said of Judah, 'Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. Let his hand be sufficient for him. May you be a help against his enemies.' And of Levi he said, 'Let your Thummim and your Urim be with your Holy One, whom you tested at Massah, and with whom you contend at the waters of Meribah, who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them, nor did he acknowledge his brothers or know his own children. For they have observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach Yaakov your judgments and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and a whole burnt sacrifice on your altar. Bless his substance, Lord, and accept the work of his hands. Strike the loins of those who rise against him and of those who hate him, that they rise not again. Benjaminah, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Yosef, he said, blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth in its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let the blessings come on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. And his glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of a wild ox. Together with them he shall push the peoples to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, O Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tents. They shall call the peoples to the mountains. They shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall partake of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures of hidden in the sand. And of Gad he says, blessed is he who enlarges Gad. He dwells as a lion, and he tears the arm and the crown of his head. He provided the first part for himself, because a lawgiver's portion was reserved there. He came with the heads of the people. He administered the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leave from Bashan. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Yaakov alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heaven shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. The enemy shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. These are the blessings of the tribes, and these tribes have been dispersed over the entire earth. They are called the lost tribes. They're in every nation, amongst every nation and tongue now. And Isaiah 49 says, is it too small a thing for the Lord God Almighty to restore the lost tribes of Israel? Rhetorical questions, meaning no. God knows who they are, and he will do this kind of a work. Now, I want to talk about a prophecy I had in Shiloh. I think it was 2003, where Spirit of the Lord came in on me, Shiloh, Israel. God said, I am a holy God, and I do not dwell in the midst of a profane generation. Because I am holy, I will dwell in the midst of a holy people. And I will not return to this land, meaning Israel, until it keeps my laws and my commandments and becomes holy, because I'm a holy God. Okay, now we know in Kings it says that God's eyes and his heart are always towards that place on the temple, always towards Jerusalem. Why? Because his son shed his blood there. And God's not going to, he's a holy God. And he, with the sword of his mouth, righteous and true, he's going to purge that land with fire. And many will perish. I've heard it said that some of the Orthodox, now there's two kinds, okay? There's those who keep the Torah, and there's those who keep the teachings of men and the Talmud and the, I think it's called the Tehillim. Those are the teachings of man, where they ordain homosexuals. And they have the rabbinical laws for doing that. But those who keep the Torah don't break God's laws with their teachings. Is sexual, you know, marrying homosexuals is forbidden in the Torah. Now, in the Talmud and in the rabbinical teachings, the Talmudic rabbis, they have provisions. They just passed it, I think it was at the end of May or June in Israel, to marry homosexuals. God hates this. Okay, so Israel's not a holy land. But some of the Orthodox rabbis who are moving in are going around to see if God's laws and his commandments are being kept, like keeping the Sabbath holy. That is God's laws. So what is the issue? The issue is covenant. Okay, a treaty breaker, a covenant breaker is a warlock. It's an occult. It causes you to worship not the true living God, not to love him, and not to, as the last six commandments say, love your neighbor. Okay, so everything that breaks covenant and that's occultic and under a warlock breaks the Ten Commandments and faith in the one who makes atonement for all of Israel by his blood. That is what these issues are now, with stargates, idolatrous portals of worship, and blood relics. Oh, that's nothing. It's all occultic. God hates it. It brings an abomination that causes desolation, and it's being moved in to the nations on the high holy days when God judges the nation in the fall feast. Okay. So Romans 11:20 says, "For I do not desire, brothers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in, and so all of Israel be saved, as it is written." Who's Israel? Who's all of Israel? It says right here, the fullness of the Gentiles and the Jews who've been blinded. But they will become unblinded. They will see. And so all of Israel will be saved, as is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, the enemy is for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gift and callings of God are irrevocable. God will do this thing in his time, and all of Israel will be saved. So, we see that prophecy is being unrolled. The scroll is being unrolled, unscrolled, and who God will write there, his covenant, his commandments in their hearts, as it says in Hebrews and Zechariah. All right, and the nations will serve God, or they will cease to exist. And all those who oppose him, the tares will be burned up in the fires, as it says in Deuteronomy 32, in the deep fires of hell. God bless you, Father. We thank you and praise you as we prepare our vessels, our temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your glory rests in us. Make us pure. Give us the gift of repentance. Let us come and see you, your face, in light of your word, Father, and may your blood cleanse us, and may we offer up to you holy hands and lift them up. In Yeshua, our Savior's name. God bless you. Shana Tova. May your name be sealed in the book for this year. God bless.